written on the board,
too late. Have you ever been late for something? I remember a special. There was some place they had something on special and you had to be there by 5 o'clock. And I got stuck in Dallas traffic. I didn't make it. I was too late. You ever had a homework assignment that was too late? Can't accept it. It's too late. Tonight, I'll just tell you this is the first message that God put on my heart for this meeting. And I would like us, because we don't have the ability to look into the future, we know some things that are coming in the future tonight, but we don't have the ability to know when and what exactly is going to be in our future. So I'd like to look in the past a little bit, if you'll use your imagination. As of 7 o'clock, it's 7:35 right now. As of 7 o'clock, where would you be tonight if you 7 o'clock, time stopped, and you face God as you were at exactly 7 o'clock this evening? We call this a revival. Revival is about renewal. Revival is about being stirred. Revival does not happen by coming and just filling a pew, listening to the message, and going home. Revival comes and happens when something goes on between your spirit and God's spirit. I am interested tonight in making heaven. And I do not know when, and I do not know exactly how, but I do know this tonight, that one of these days we are going to stand before God and He's going to judge us, and our acceptance to God is not going to be found because I went to church here. My acceptance with God is not going to be found because my great-grandfather was in this movement. My acceptance with God is not going to come exclusively because somewhere 30 years ago I went to an altar of prayer. I am going to stand before God and I'm going to be judged on the merits of the experience that I have today. And my question in the fear of God to us individually tonight, 7 o'clock this evening, where did you stand before God? Folks, there is a time for encouragement, there is a time for comfort, and there's a time for judgment. The Scripture says, let judgment begin at the house of God. For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? Tonight at 7 o'clock, if the Lord would have come back, and you would have gone out into eternity, where would you have been? Do you know tonight that there is going to come a time when it's too late to pray? It's too late to come and say, I plan to make some changes in my life. We can come to revival meetings, we can go to camp meetings, we can go to services on Sunday, but until we are ready to humble our heart and do business with God, do not expect tonight to go out into eternity any different than how you sit this evening. Because the Lord's going to come back and we're going to stand before a God of judgment in the condition that we are right now tonight. So where would we be? How would we stand before God this evening if the Lord came back for us 7 o'clock and the Lord said it's over? Are we going? I think sometimes, and I appreciate, I would not be here if it were not for the mercy of God tonight. And that goes beyond the mercy He had on me when I got saved. The Lord has been so long-suffering to me. He has been so compassionate and merciful. If it had not been for the Lord's mercy tonight, we would all be consumed. But I also do not want to forget, and I want my children tonight, and the young people and the elders here tonight, to know that there's going to come a time where judgment is going to come. And the Lord is not going to come back and judge us as a body, see?
We can make decisions. We can have, and I say it in love, we can have all the ministers' meetings we want. But when we stand before the judgment seat of God, I'm going to give an account of myself. The Lord is not going to have you standing with me. The Lord's not going to have my brother ministers. He's not going to have my wife and my parents standing beside me to help hold me up. The Lord's going to judge me based on my attitude, based on my spirit, based on whether I did what the sister's just saying about. Lord, I cry unto you from the depth of my heart. The question tonight is, have you been crying to the Lord from the depth of your heart? Or do we have a surface experience with God tonight? If any at all. 7 o'clock tonight, the Lord came back. Where are you at tonight? It is a reality of many a soul has gone out into eternity and it's too late for them to pray tonight. There are a lot of religions that try to incorporate in their theology somewhere second chances. Millennial reign, you find somewhere in there a second chance, somewhere. There's a reason the enemy has capitalized on those kinds of teaching. You can go out into purgatory for a while and learn some lessons and then come back into God's heaven. Folks, this is the time for us to learn our lessons. But I wonder tonight, are we learning them? How many times does God have to deal with our heart on the same things over and over and over, and we put it off and go on the same way? There is coming a time when it's going to be too late to pray. Do not assume or presume on the mercy of God tonight, because the mercy of God is not always going to be here tonight. It's going to be relatively unimportant then. The hurts that I have, the offenses that have come my way, the things that people have done, the difficulties that life has brought to me. When I stand before God, those things are going to be relatively unimportant. What's going to matter is, has the blood of Jesus been applied? Have I been forgiven of all of my sins? And am I serving the Lord with zeal and fervor and fire? Folks, do you know we read about, let's just turn and read it, over in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Familiar parable that Jesus told. The story of the 10 virgins. It's noteworthy to me that Jesus took the parable and he used virgins to illustrate his point. Representing those that profess to be pure. Is that us tonight? Is that us tonight? We come to church. How long have we known the truth? But what are we doing with it tonight? How is it affecting me? And it's not enough to come to church. It matters how I live through the week. What matters is my relationship, my personal relationship with God through the week when I'm tried and tested and tempted. How are we doing tonight? See, 7 o'clock, it was over. No more time to pray. If we knew that was a reality tonight, would we want to say, Lord, would you give me just an opportunity to pray? Give me a little bit more time because, Lord, I was intending to make some changes. I was intending to do something different in my family. I was intending to make some phone calls and humble my heart and say, brother, I'm sorry. I was intending to go and clear up some things that I did in the past. Lord, I was intending to get rid of those things, but Lord, just give me a little more time. It's too late tonight. Folks, one of these nights, it is going to be too late. And I don't know when it's going to be, and you don't either. Jesus spoke in the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 1. He said here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps.
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. In other words, it's too late. You had opportunity. You know, it's nighttime. Nighttime is a time where people sleep. And folks, we are living in a very spiritual, drowsy age. And it's not just out there, folks. Please, I say it in love tonight. There are too many people that are asleep and they're not tending their lamps. 10 virgins professing to be saved, professing to be pure. And the knock came, the cry came and said, the bridegroom cometh. Folks, there is a call tonight, and I would that you open up your spirits and hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking. The bridegroom is coming. Open my Bible. I was in prayer and I opened up my Bible before I came tonight. Opened up to the scripture that said, behold, I come quickly. Folks, the Lord is coming back. And when He comes back, it's going to be just like here. We're going to look at what we have on hand. What do you have in hand tonight, spiritually? Are you ready without another prayer? Without another phone call? Without another opportunity to ask the Lord to forgive you? Without an opportunity to go to your husband, wife, and say, honey, I'm sorry. Without going to family, people in the congregation, and people at work, and taking care of some things. Lord. Folks, there are some things tonight that need to be taken care of. And I want to say, I don't have anything specific in my mind. But there are some things that need to be taken care of that I wouldn't want to go out into eternity and face a God of judgment with those things in my life. How long are we going to tarry? That's a personal question. How long are we going to presume that the Lord is going to keep giving us more time? How long is God going to extend time for us tonight? Folks, there's going to be a time. It's too late. And they came in the tent, the five virgins, their lamps, their oil had gone out. What does that mean? And my burden is not to get into the intricacies of the theology of this parable. But understand that the oil, the Holy Spirit, but bring it down even simpler. The relationship that we have with God, are we on fire? Do we still have life? You see, we can have a shell and still come to church. We can have a shell and still testify. We can have a shell and still be a pretty good person, but being a good person isn't going to get us into heaven tonight. What's going to get us into heaven is that personal walk with God on a daily basis where the blood of Jesus has been applied, and we can do as Paul, where he said, herein do I exercise myself always. To have a conscience void of offense before God and man. Tonight, if your conscience is not void of offense before God, you are not ready to stand before a God of judgment. And if your conscience is not void of offense with your fellow man, there's going to come a time it's too late to fix it. You say, well, that's just with man. God and I, things are going good. Folks, if there are problems and you've wronged man, you have wronged God. If there are things that you have done, injustices, carnality, places that you have not treated people right, we are going to be answerable to the God in heaven for those things when we stand before Him. And there's going to come a time it's going to be too late. And so the foolish virgins, they looked and they said, I really don't have anything on hand. Folks, when the Lord comes back, there is not going to be an opportunity to pray anymore.
There's not going to be an opportunity to say, Lord, just give me 5 minutes. There's not going to be time because it's over. Tonight, would you have been ready? Some may say, well, the preacher shouldn't get that specific. I'm gonna. The Bible does. Would we have been ready tonight? I'm in the same boat as you are. Would we have been ready at 7 o'clock tonight to go out and stand before God? So, Lord, here I am. No more prayers. No more saying, I'm going to follow through on my intentions. Folks, intentions will not get us to heaven tonight. It doesn't matter how much you want to do better. Wanting to do better won't get us into heaven. The Scripture says the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. There's a place that we need to put our intentions into action and come to God and make our peace with Him and go out and be the people God wants us to be. So the foolish virgins, they looked to the wise and they said, give us something. We need it right now. We need some oil. And they said, we can't give it to you. Folks, there is not enough oil in this building tonight for any of us to lose what we have in our relationship with God. And they said, go buy for yourselves. Tonight, I entreat you in the fear of God, get for yourself what you need that will carry you to the judgment. We can come to service and find some satisfaction and consolation that I'm pretty good and I come to church and I'm kind of one of the group and experience the fringe anointing of the Lord sometimes. That's not going to get us there, folks. I need the anointing of God in my life when I go back home. I need the anointing of God in my life when I'm tempted. I need the anointing of God in my life when I'm frustrated. I need the anointing of God in my life when people don't treat me right. There is no one that can give me that except God Himself. And so they said, go get it for yourself. And I entreat you tonight in the fear of God, if you're not ready to stand before God, go and get it for yourself and don't delay. Folks, we are running for our life tonight. There are those here tonight, and again, I have no one specific in mind, understand that, but there are people tonight that are not ready to stand before a God of judgment. We rely on His mercy, but the Scripture tells us repeatedly to prepare and get ready to stand before a God of judgment. And they came to the Lord, and He said, I don't know who you are. It's too late. It's too late. We need to set our house in order tonight. We need to get ready. We need to... If we knew God was coming back, it's 10 till 8 now. If we knew the Lord was going to come back at 8 o'clock, would anything change between 7 and 8? I mean, that's a real question. If we knew, is there anything in our life that we would make changes in? Folks, we need to live every single day as if it were our last. Because one of these days it's going to be, and you won't have any more time to pray. There's not going to be any more time to fix the things that the Lord showed us to fix. Do you remember the story Jesus told? Of the rich man and Lazarus. I think before we look at that, last week I had a flight out to Oregon, and my plane got into Denver and it was late. It was delayed. And I missed my flight. And it was too late. They didn't wait on me. They were gonna go, whether I was there or not. You know, I can stand a night in Denver. That's fine. It's no big deal. But do you know when the Lord comes back, folks, if we're not ready to meet Him, for Him to take us to heaven, it's too late. That's it. There's no more opportunity. And the thing about it is, when I was in Denver, they rebooked me. Do you know when the Lord comes back, there is no rebooking? Your destination has been sealed. It's finished. It's over. It's final. And we're not used to dealing with God on those terms. I'm not. Are you? I'm not. Because God's so loving.
And He's so merciful. But do you know tonight, when our eternal destination is sealed, we are not going to go to heaven or to hell by accident. I don't think anybody is going to go to hell by accident. God does not send people to hell. And that's why I'm glad I'm not the judge, because there are a lot of people that don't have a lot of understanding. I'm glad I'm not in God's place. People will not go to hell by accident. Nor are people going to go to heaven by accident. It is based on conscious decisions that people have made when the Spirit of God deals with their life in whatever form or fashion that that person's spirit understands. And God is going to judge them based on their response to His dealings. Tonight, we have a lot of responsibility right in this congregation. We have a lot of responsibility. But our knowledge is not going to get us there unless we live it. It's not going to happen by accident. In other words, when it comes down to areas in our life that the Lord comes along and puts His finger on things, say, I need to make some changes. Why aren't we making those changes? I hope you are. But folks, if you're not, are you willing to look the Lord in the eyes tonight and say, Lord, I cry to You from the depth of my heart and did everything I knew. Tonight, if you cannot say that with a clear conscience that, Lord, to all that I know, I'm doing it. That doesn't take away from the fact that we're all growing in the Lord, folks. We're growing in the Lord. The Lord's perfecting us. We're all on a journey. But do you know that in our journey, we can be in the place that we're at, we can be doing all that we know the Lord wants us to do? We can. If you're not there tonight, there's going to come a time it's going to be too late to get there. When Lazarus died, he went up to paradise, didn't he? Said he lay in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man who had neglected God, it said, I want to read you what it said. It said over in Luke 16, verse 23, it said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Tonight, it was too late for the rich man to make his peace with God. Folks, there is a reality to hell tonight. We see a world that's just, you know, we're so caught up with the cares of life. It's not just the world. We're pretty caught up people, aren't we? Don't forget, there is an eternity. Coming to church doesn't cut it.
That's right.
Don't neglect it. But it's not enough. What do you have in your spirit tonight? Hell is a reality from the youngest to the oldest. Eternity is a reality tonight. And the rich man was in torment. And he said, if you could just send Lazarus just to give me just one little drop of water. So insignificant to us here tonight. But the torment that he was in, it was too late, folks. There was no relief. And do you remember Abraham, he spoke to him and he said, it's over in Luke again, 16th chapter. He told him, he said, do you remember? Remember when you were rich, you had all the pleasures of this life, and Lazarus was... He had his trials and his afflictions and these. See, that happens to God's people, doesn't it? That's all right. Be sure you're walking with God. He said, do you remember when? I think, and you can discount it, but I believe based on the scripture, based on what the Lord showed me, I believe one of the greatest torments of an eternal hell is going to be remembering. Do you know we're going to have a lot to remember if we don't make heaven, folks? Do you remember I dealt with you? Do you remember when the Spirit came along and showed you what to do? Do you remember that you knew that I said you shouldn't do that and you just kind of neglected it and did it anyway? Do you remember? You can never get up to heaven because it's too late. Folks, hell, we're going to be remembering services like this tonight. You know the torment it would be to be in hell for eternity and in your mind and in your heart experiencing all of the services, all of the moments that the Holy Spirit came along and touched your life. You said, I can't do anything about it now. There's no escape from it. And so Lazarus said, in essence, I'm putting it in my words now, if you can't give me any relief, would you at least send Lazarus back to testify to my brothers and tell them that it's real? Tonight, my mind has been going over some of the different ones that have gone out into eternity. There's been a number right here in this congregation in the last few years. You know, thinking about what do you think they would say if they came back tonight? What message would they bring to us from eternity? I believe they'd be telling us, it's real. It's real. Don't let the little things stop you. Don't let these hindrances of life that we struggle with so much, don't let it hinder you because eternity's real. Folks, there's coming a time it's going to be too late. It gives us consolation to think about those that we have an assurance based on the fruit of their life that they're in heaven. I've taken care of funerals of saints. There's such a peace. There's such a peace that there's such a release in our spirits. We don't mourn as the world mourns because we have the hope of eternal life. But you know, tonight, I've taken care of the funerals of some hypocrites. And you may have not known they were hypocrites. Their family knew it. And I knew it. And you know how difficult it is to get up. It's like, Lord, what do we say? Can't preach them into heaven. Can't do it. You see, they had a lamp, but they didn't have an experience with God. They had a profession. They testify. They've been through these camp meetings right here on these grounds. And all the time, they had no relationship with God. Where are we at tonight? You know, when they died, it was too late. I want to tell you, though, and there's been those that are sinners. I want to tell you tonight about an experience I had. There is a man that sat among the saints, and I kind of debated. I was like, Lord, do I share this? I believe this man would be very happy for me to share this experience with you tonight because he's in eternity. It's too late for him. But, folks, I'm thankful the Lord didn't come at 7 o'clock. It's not too late for any of us tonight yet. But this man sat among the saints for years. He was very active among God's people. He got hurt. He had some offenses by people. Some of those people are still among us today. This man got hurt and he got offended. And he lost out with God. He lost his relationship with God. And he came down with a terminal illness. And my wife and I went and visited him about weekly, every week or two. And one day, the Lord, we'd been praying for the Lord to give us opportunity to talk to him. And one day, the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy in the room with us. And I told him, I said, you're running out of time. He said, you're running out of time. He had a terminal illness. He knew his days were numbered. And I said, you're running out of time. And I asked him, I said, do you want to be saved? And he sat and he thought about it for a long time. And he said, I know I need to be saved. And I said, but do you want to be? Because see, it's not enough tonight for us to recognize needs. Whether we're saved or whether there's just areas the Lord's wanting to make some changes in our life. It's not enough to just want it, folks, or just to say, I need it. We need to want it enough to do something about it. And he said, well, he thought about it a long time. He wasn't taking it lightly. The Spirit of the Lord, I've been in very few places that the Spirit of the Lord was so poignant as it was at that time. And he said, I would like to have what I used to have. And I said, are you willing to pray and ask God to give it to you? He thought about it a long time and he said, not now. He had a terminal illness. He was dying. We were called in when he stopped responding to his family. Just very few words. He was in the process of dying. And I went in and I told him, I said, you don't have much time. He was looking at hours. And I said, you don't have much time left. I said, are you ready to pray now? Are you ready to pray and ask the Lord in your life? I said, all you have to do is just say yes. That's all you have to do, because see, folks, salvation is a condition of heart tonight. It's the condition. I cried from the depth of my heart, they sang. And that means that not just when I pray to be saved, but in every area of my life, Lord, you know my intent and my purpose and my desire is right, Lord, for you. But it's the areas, folks, that we try to separate from God. And we didn't know if he understood or not. My wife and I sang the song, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art pleading, O Lord, do not pass me by. Ask him, I said, do you want to pray? Are you ready now to be pray and ask the Lord into your heart? And we could barely hear him. And he moved his lips and he said, not ready. Those were the last words he ever spoke. He went out into eternity in response to the question, would you pray now? Would you just say yes? It's all you have to do. The Lord will forgive all the things of the past. Just put them in God's hands and just say yes. Tonight, that's all we have to do. And if you're saved tonight and you know there are places that you haven't been as diligent and you look at your lamp and you know the fire's not what it ought to be, all we have to do tonight is say yes. But he said, not ready. My only hope for him was that evening I went back and prayed with him. And his lips were moving silently while I prayed, and that's the only hope I have. That he made his peace with God. But he never spoke again, not ready. And I wonder, why is it that someone that had understanding, just like we have tonight, could get in a place that he could say, I'm still not ready to pray, and he knew he was dying. It was because of this. The longer that you say no to the Lord, the harder it is to ever say yes. If there are things that God has pointed out in our lives, and he's saying you need to take care of this. If you say no, you are telling the Lord that I'm not ready right now. Even if you're saved, see. Even if you have some kind of an experience with God, you're telling the Lord, I'm not ready to do that right now. And there's going to come a time that the Spirit of the Lord stops dealing with us on things that we used to feel pricked in our conscience about. That is what deception is tonight. That's why there are so many people that have one time had truth that today could get up and preach to you that you can basically go live however you want. And it's because they ignored the still small voice and the checks of the Holy Spirit to where they actually started to believe that they were okay. Tonight, are you ready? All he had to say was, yes, Lord. And I stood beside his casket at his funeral. And you walked by. And I looked down. I thought, what would you tell us now? What message, what would you tell us now? And I believe he would tell us tonight, don't wait. Don't wait, because eternity is real. Hell is real tonight. And even if I am saved tonight and I think I would make it, but if there are areas in my life that I would not be ready for the Lord to come and judge me in that condition. The Lord's calling us for us to come. The Lord is calling for us while He's passing by to come to be sure that, Lord, I'm ready to go. Because, folks, one of these days, it will be too late. Too late to pray. Too late. And the longer that we reject the Lord, the harder it is. And it is for that reason, the Scripture says over in the book of Isaiah 55, He said, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near." While you feel the presence of the Lord calling you to a closer walk, while you feel the presence of the Lord calling you to forsake your sin, while you call the Lord, while you hear the Lord calling for you to go ahead and move out and make those changes in your relationship that you know the Lord has been wanting you to do, He said, call upon Him then, because there's going to be a date and a time that it's going to be too late. Tonight, it's 8:10. And as we stand and sing the song, if the Lord had come at 7:00, would it be too late? Or are there things that we'd say, Lord, I need some victories. I need some help. I'm ready to say yes, Lord. Don't wait till it's too late tonight.